Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Hallelujah. Oh, you up for it this morning, this afternoon, wherever we are? You up for it with God? All things are possible. Everything, every impossibility you're facing in your life becomes possible when you apply faith in Jesus Christ. Is the impossible becomes possible with Him. Incredible. Turn to a few people, give them a high five, tell them the impossible is possible. It's great. Jesus. Oh, good. Great. Stick that there. Wow. Are you excited about God? Are you excited about life? Some people are. Some people are. God wants you to be excited, right? You have permission. Permission. Permission from God to be excited about what He wants to do in your life, through your life, and in the next season of things. The promises of God seem to indicate that things get better. Now, you might have a bad day. You might have a day today that's worse than you had yesterday. You might have been having the best day you've ever had yesterday, and today doesn't quite meet up to the standards. But when you look at the graph of your life over a period of time, you should find that it's up. It's upwards. You might have a bad day, but you're going upwards. You're getting better. It's God's Bible that we read, right, says that we go from one degree of glory to another. One degree. God's doing something. God's doing something in your life. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is doing something. Because you're getting more glorious. You are. You are. You're looking better. You are looking better than you did a year ago. A year ago. If you got God in your life, you start looking in the mirror and you're thinking, oh, maybe I look slightly younger. You know, you see the program, you see the adverts and the photoshopped and all that kind of stuff. And it's like people, the celebrities you see generally, and they're like, oh, well, they look okay. And then you see them on the kind of, on the makeup adverts, and it's like, oh, I'm like, that's not natural, is it? But God's doing something supernatural. Transform you. He'll transform your face, you know. I think sometimes we need to tell our face that God is good, you know. Tell our hearts, oh, I'm feeling deep in my heart, God is really good. Tell your face. It will do you good. Turn to the person next to you, say, tell your face. It's good. It's good, good, good. Cool. So Lisa's quite tidy. It's quite tidy. I don't know if you're married and one of you is more tidy than the other. Usually, isn't it? One of you... there's a disagreement. There is a disagreement on the front row about who's tidiest. But we have a level. I've got a level of tidiness that I'm quite happy with, that I can live in. I live in a certain level of tidiness. I'm like, this is nice. It looks like somebody lives here. But when we have people come round, people are coming round. If someone's coming round, that's not tidy anymore. Now that's a complete mess. According to Lisa, what was tidy becomes a complete mess. And we have to go round and we have to, you know, well, we, I say we. You know, Lisa has to run round and put things and tidy. And we've got to vacuum. We've got to put those beer bottles away. People think you're alcoholic, Dave. They'll think. They come and they see that. They'll be worried. They'll say, he's not a man of God. It's... Because we think, because our house, it said something about us, doesn't it? It said something. We know that if someone comes to our house, they'll go, And they'll have made an assessment about you. You know that, that's it. You do it, don't you? You go into someone's house, you've never been, you go, Interesting picture. You know, and you... Too many pictures of your children. My mum has got two pictures of me as a baby on the wall, right? Two pictures of me as a baby. Same picture. Two of the same. They're next to each other. She says she loves her son. You know? Two pictures of the same. You go and go, spot the difference? I don't know. I think my eyebrows slightly raised on the other one. It's just me as a baby, just on a cloth. And, well, blanket. And he says something. Our house says something about us. And we're in this process, me and Lisa. It's like a month. Is it like a month that we've been around Hope City Liverpool now? A month already. I don't know how long it feels to you. It's going quite quickly from my perspective. A month, and we're in this process of relocating our lives, and we've relocated our lives into Liverpool on Sundays and different times in the week, and we're going to get to the point where we've moved over the next few months. And it's very exciting, and I'm looking on, I've got my iPhone, the way you can do everything on your iPhone. You can do everything in life happens on the iPhone now. And so I'm looking for homes on the iPhone. That's how I'm looking. And we're looking, I want to find a nice house, but we're not here, not moving, I'm not relocating in order to find a nice house in the south of Liverpool or wherever. That's not the house that I'm bothered about. This is the house that I'm bothered about. This is why I'm coming. I'm not coming for a house that's, you know, whatever it is out there. That'll be nice because we'll have somewhere to live. But this is the house. This is the house that I want to be part of, because this is the house that God wants to use to communicate something about himself to the world. So this is more important. This is more important in your house at home. I don't know if you got decorating that needs doing. Someone said, yeah, uh-huh. I don't know. But this is the house that we're called to be bothered about. Because, you know, our house might communicate something about us, about our status, about our, you know, what's important to us or whatever. But this is the house that God's building. This is where God's relocated you out of your previous life. Your previous existence has been, you've been relocated into the house, into this house. Into the house of God. You're meant to live in the house of God. You know, we have homes, but this is the house that you were born to belong to. Born to be a part of. Born to be part of what God is building. You are born for this house. Yes. Yes, you are. Here's a couple of scriptures for you. Hebrews 3, verse 6. Can I have some water up here? Please, somewhere, mine. Drinky. There's a drinky. Thank you. We've taken the whole lid off. I'm going to spill it. It's good. Interactive church. That's what we like. It's what we like. It's good. Hang on. I'll do another one. That's awesome. That is, that's water. So, Hebrews 3 verse 6 says, but Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house. God's entire house. And his entire house. Every single one of you. No matter where you feel like you are in the house at the moment. Whether you feel like you're central and right in there. Or you feel like, well, maybe I'm on the edge and not so important. Or whatever it may be. I'm just brand new here. God's in charge. God is in charge. You need to have Christ in charge of your life. You need Jesus in charge of your life. Because he's the master builder, if you like. He's the one with the plan. The man with the plan for your life, for positioning you, locating you right in the center of his will. He's in charge of the entire house. And we are God's house. Gosh. So that's bigger. That's more than just God putting you in his house. Oh, I'm in it. I'm in the house of God. More than being in it, you are it. More than being in it, you're the stones, you're the things that God is using, the life that God is using to build something absolutely astounding to show the world who he is. That's, I thought I may as well preach a bit this morning. Thank you. We are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That's why you come. That's why you're here. Like God wants to give you some courage. Some courage. You know, you disconnect, don't you? Sometimes in life, we're disconnected and I find, it's been a long time since I was ever really disconnected from the house. Since I ever had a period of time where I was kind of disconnected myself a bit. But when you're disconnected, you lose courage. You can lose courage because your stuff becomes your stuff and it surrounds your life. And you forget that this is the house. This is where you live. This is where God wants to give you courage today. I think already, I was just loving the worship. I'm loving what's been going on so far. I'm like, this is giving me courage. I'm just being here. It's strengthening me for just to have faith that God has got something more than what I'm seeing right now that I can overcome when I'm getting into the house and around the house and take my place in it. I feel like, God, you know, really, it becomes that the impossible becomes possible. I start to think, you know what? We can do this thing. Do you know what? I can be part of this. Do you know what? We can see Liverpool change. God wants to just give you some courage today. Oh, and remain confident in our hope in Christ. And 1 Peter 2 verse 5, I've already kind of got there. And it says, you're the living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. We came to the point at the end of the message last week when we realized it's not just about where God locates us, but he's done this incredible relocation right into our lives. You know, that God says, Jesus says, you know what, if you love me, you'll obey me. As an overflow of your love, it comes out of your life. And he says, the Father will make his home. Me and the Father, Jesus says, me and my dad are going to make our home in your life. God, make yourself at home. May that be your prayer. May that be your prayer. God, make yourself at home. In my life. You know, it's like when we have visitors and stuff, when you think, I've got to go around, tidy up. It's like, God, he already knows exactly. He knows you ain't that tidy. He knows there's some work to be done. But he looks at you and goes, you know, I can move in there. I can move straight in. That's what we did with the home, the last home we bought. We looked at it and thought, you know what, we can move straight in here. There's work that needs to be done, but we're going to move straight in, and then we'll do some work. And we haven't completed the work, just like God's not completed the work in your life. But he's moved in with a vision for what it can become, for what it is. You've got to just say, God, just make yourself at home. Come on in. I'm not going to try and tidy everything up. I'm not going to go around with a duster trying to scrub it all out. There we go. Now I'm ready for you, God. Now we've already sung, I am ready for you. It's too late. No time for tidying up. God said, I'm coming in. Here I am. Hi. Put the kettle on. Let's have tea. I like it. I'm never going to get to the end of my notes today. But this is the truth. This is a house that God's building. This is a house that God is building, and this house is alive. It ain't just got character. Sorry, this house has got some character. This house is alive. This house is living. This is living stones. It's not dead stones, dead lives. Oh, well, see what we can do with that. It's like living stones pulsating. You're like pulsating with the life of God, and he's taking you and placing you in place that together we'd be a spiritual temple. If God says just about you, don't you know your body is a temple? Well, how much more as we work together, as we live together, as we allow God to build the house, will we become a place where the presence of God is incredible? Oh, God takes our lives and relocates us as a living stone into his house. This is what God's building. You say, what, God? What's God doing in the earth? What's your plan, God? What's your master plan? What are you doing? How are you, God? How are you ever going to change cities and nations? He says, well, this is how. He looks at us and says, this is how. There's no plan B. You know, he's not got another secret plan. If this doesn't work, I'll build this. He started already. You know, he started already the plans that are happening. How is he going to change Liverpool? Hello. Turn to the person next to you and say, hello. 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 How is he going to do it? Well, this is how. How is he going to change Liverpool? This is how. This is how, what he's building. The construction has already begun of our lives together. It's already, it's like me and Lisa, we just come in halfway through, you know. Just God's gone, living stoners. in you go. I enjoyed that one thing. You know, because your life's meant for something significant. It's meant for something significant. And the world rewrites significance as fame and fortune and everyone loves you. But significance in God is, it might not be the spotlight, it might not be fame and fortune, but it is seeing people's lives forever changed through our lives. That's the significance that God's got for you. Significance. You know, it says, and it will result, I've just written in my notes, but I can't remember exactly where the scripture is, but it says, you know, it will result in praise and honor for you when Christ Jesus returns. I'm like, well, I'll forego any kind of fame, fortune, just wanting to be up there for the sake of the day when Jesus goes, you know, I'm going to give you some praise and glory. All right. I'm like, that's cool. Let's build our lives for the real significance. You know, you don't need a spotlight. You don't need everyone to notice you. You don't need, you know, to be on a pedestal to know that God is actually doing something significant through your life. I wonder, you know, how I was thinking about this, how I make some of my major life decisions that require a relocation. And I thought through and I thought, well, this isn't just because I'm a leader in church. This is just since I started following Christ when I was like 19. I found that the decisions I make, that the center point around which they all turn is like, is the building of his house. How is this decision about my life connected with the building of his house? Not mine, just his house. And life presents things and things happen. But I've realized, I'm like, gosh, no, really. I want my life and my decisions to rotate around the building of his house. Not the building of my individual. Like, but how does the decisions I'm making affect the building of his house? What house am I part of? You know, who am I following? How is this going to work? How is this going to build the house of God? I think, is that just unusual? Is that odd? Right? Is that just me? Because I'm like, well, I'm full on for God, you know. Is that just me? Because I've gone a bit loopy in my head. And I'm like, you know, that's how God wants us to think, because he says he takes us as living stones into his temple. He's not doing something else. This is all he's doing. All he's doing is he's saying, I'm building my church. That's it. That's it. That's all I've got, says God. He said, God, wow. Gosh, you'd think you'd have a few more irons in the fire being God. He said, no, I'm just, all my eggs are in that basket. It's like, if this doesn't work, oh, well. But I think he knows it's going to work. I think he knows it's going to work. So come on, I think if we keep our courage, if we pour our hearts out into what God wants to do, then we'll see our lives become incredibly significant. And that we'll know that together we are in the process of building something absolutely incredible with and for God, the house of God. Because his house, well, he says, you know, his body is a house of God, and this house is a body, the house. Is the body of Christ. It's his. It's the way he's going to work and walk into our world through you and through me. What an incredible privilege to be part of that. You know, some incredible things will happen in the life of Hope City Church when this house is alive with the passion and the energy of the living stones, allowing God to put them in place. Say, I'm going to take my place. If you get nothing else out of this morning, I would hope that you go out of here thinking, I am taking my place in the house of God, because his house is alive. And when this house is alive, a few things happen. I'm kind of going to mix metaphors. Can I mix metaphors? Is that all right? Will you fire me? Will you put on Twitter, Dave mixed metaphors today? It was very bad preaching. Please, just forgive me. I've slightly mixed my metaphors, right? But to say the same thing, because God builds a house, but this house is the body of Jesus Christ. He puts us together within his body. And I was looking at some scriptures in 1 Corinthians about it's the body, you know? But I'm reading through and he still says, well, he's talking about putting it together. So I think I can mix the metaphor, right? Of the building with the body. Is that okay? Gosh, I feel bad about that. okay, I'll just get on with it. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything and you wouldn't have noticed, but you just had a niggling thought that there was something not quite connected in that preach. But you can turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And a few things about what happens when this house is alive. And I thought today, I've already tweeted today during the service. This house, do you know, Hope City Liverpool is buzzing this morning. I was like, this is buzzing. People were up for it. And some people were a bit earlier. Some people were a bit earlier. And just up for it. And just love the energy and the passion in the house. And we want to cultivate that. You know, not fake it, but actually allow God to energize our faith. And anyway, so when this house is alive, first thing, when this house is alive, people who don't belong together belong together. Right? It says in 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, it says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Any Jews in? Sorry? No. Okay. Pardon? Oh, Messianic. Awesome. Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. Any Gentiles in? Hey, we're all Gentiles. If you're not Jew, you're Gentile. Oh, I'm a Gentile. Gentile and proud. Anyway. Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Some of us, well, all of us are something, aren't we? All of us are something. All of us have been something. All of us have done something. Some of us are Scousers. Hey, don't know what that wasn't. That wasn't a Scouse accent. It was not my attempt. Was not my attempt. Some of us are red. Oh, that's good. Some of us are blue. Oh, gosh. Oh, drugging it out of you. You know, gosh, you know, people who don't belong together, belonging together, that's good. Some of us are public school. Roger. Gotcha. One of us. Some of us are council estates. John, That's me. That's my background. Council estate. I find it incredible. Church is this incredible place where people, you just think you would not belong together. God, what could you possibly do together? What could you possibly find in common, maybe with the person sitting next to you? Okay. What? I just found myself like, last year I was sitting having lunch. I was having lunch with a multimillionaire. I came from the council estate, not on that particular day. But I was brought up on the council, just council estate. And, you know, we had the days where the bills weren't paid and electricity was turned off and it's dark. You know, those days where you can't buy the food, those days, we had those days. And I'm sitting just having lunch with a multimillionaire, just chatting. And I'm thinking, God, where else but in the church of God could you take people who don't belong together, who've got such a different histories and backgrounds, and do something absolutely incredible by joining us together with the one Spirit and one heart to see something happen? How can the vision of a multimillionaire and a guy from the council estates, you know, how could they be joined together? How could someone with your history and your background join together with the person on the other side of the auditorium and their history and their background? And you find that together you find something common in God where he builds something absolutely phenomenal out of your life. Where else? Where else can someone with your history become part of something world-changing? Where else but the church of God? You think maybe you feel you've written off. You define yourself by history. You limit yourself by history. You limit yourself by your culture or your background or your family or what you've done or what you haven't done. You limit yourself by those things. But God just said, "Come on, this is about building the body together." He'll take, in fact, he'll take your history and use it to actually add to the mix of our story, to make us more effective. Your bad history will actually add to the mix of the story of the grace of God that's present in this house. You think, well, maybe I don't belong. Maybe I can't find anyone to connect with. I believe you just need to know that you do belong. You've got to know there's a call. God just, he says, you are accepted because Christ accepted you. You are accepted in the beloved. My Bible says you are accepted. Incredible things that God does. We've got to be completely anti-clique, right? Or how many of you say clique for clique? Didn't say clique for clique. It's clique. But we got to be. We can't be cliquey. Don't be cliquey. It's okay to have your buddies and your pals and your mates and your people that you share everything with, but don't become closed off. Don't come into church and think, well, now I've found my buddies. That's all it. That is it. That's all I need. Because that's not church. Church remains open. Once God's done something in your life, you've got to open it up so you can do something in someone else's. We got to welcome. We got to just have open arms. And you come to church on a Sunday when you come into the house together to be the house together. We're not here just to let's zone in on the person that I know really well. Let's just, if God's done something, you've been here more than a few months and you've seen God do something. It's time to turn things around. Open up the doors. Look out. Where's the new people? You know, let's not all pounce on the new people. There's this crowd of, you know, 80 of us just running at the new. Hello. We're not cliquey. Sorry. It'll soak in. Good. Incredible. I'll just rein it in now. God, welcome people. Ephesians 4, 2 to 3 says, be completely humble and gentle. I'm just giving you the easy things to outwork today, aren't I? Be completely. Oh my God. Be completely humble and gentle, only with God, right? Only by a work of the Spirit in our lives. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So the Word of God says, make every effort, says to me that we're going to have to try hard. We're going to have reasons to fall out. We're going to have reasons to feel like, well, I don't know if I connect with you. You've upset me. That's why it says, come on, be humble, be patient, bear with one another in love. It blows my mind a little bit when people would come and say, gosh, oh, they fell out with me, and therefore, gosh, what's wrong with this church? You know what? I'm like, what are you thinking? Gosh, we've had some friction with a few people, so we're going, you know? I'm like, gosh, hang on, my Bible says be patient, bear with one another. Keep going, work at it, work it out. Be completely humble and gentle. Sort out your problems. The Bible says that you shouldn't even take communion if you know someone's got something against you. It says go and sort it out with them before you do anything. How do you take the hump? Don't take the hump. What? Don't go there. Why? Just come on. This is about what God putting you in place. If God's put you in place, you don't go, I'm just taking myself out of place. I'm feeling out of place, feeling a little bit. Bear one another in love. This is about building the family, the house of God, where anybody with any background, any history, any foibles, any attitude issues can still find a place. I you know, we all got to work through our attitude issues, right? But we got to be open to people. Come on in. Come on in. We want to work this through. I sometimes fight for people when they, you know, when they think they're going to, you think, oh, gosh, they're going off on one, right? You want to fight for them. Sometimes they go off on one anyway. But it's like, gosh, because we know that you belong in the house. This is where you're going to flourish. This is where your destiny is going to be fulfilled. This is where God's plans are going to be outworked. Don't disconnect yourself. Don't take yourself out of the brickwork of what God is doing. Don't do it. Work it through. Share the same spirit. It's not our history that unites us or our background. It's the purpose of God that unites it. Get in with the purpose and the spirit of the house. Amen. When the house is alive, God puts you exactly where he wants you. You know, we've been talking about this. I'll read this quickly. Right, 1 Corinthians 12:14-17. It says, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, what would that make? Would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how do you smell? Terrible. No. How do you smell? Anything. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Some of us are in denial about being part of the body because we think, well, I'm not that, so I'm not nothing. I'm not able to do that, so I'm nothing. You know, I'm not like them, therefore I am nothing. It's actually being in denial. Just because you're not like so-and-so, just because you can't do so-and-something, doesn't mean that you're not part of the body. Just because you can't function as one thing, doesn't mean you can't function as anything. Right? I used to lead worship. Oh, yeah. Let's get this. No. Do it. Yeah. I will. some of us. Come on, no, okay. So, I used to be worship leader. I used to play the guitar, an electric guitar. I used to play the guitar. Lisa played bass. I don't know if you know that. So, me and Lisa, oh, do it. Oh, oh, you want to see that one day, though, don't you? See, Phil? Phil said students, a lot of students going away for the summer and band, you know, less on the band. So we've got it covered. And I thought Chris Tomlin is like 40, right? And he's still doing. So I think maybe I've still got time to rock out, become a pop and rock star in the Christian world. And it's all right. No, but I'm not the worship leader anymore. No, I know. That season's gone. That season of life, but some people are still hanging on to the season that's gone. Some people are still thinking, "Well, I am an I, or I was an I, and I still need to be an I." I've realized God's actually changed some of the changes. I can't find a scientific kind of thing for that, an analogy for that, but it's still true. There's seasons of our lives where we're functioning in one way and seasons that where we function in something else. And sometimes I've found that people just get stuck in the season that they're in and are just pinning their hopes and dreams on an old season and an old function where it's like, God, no, there's a new season and a new function for your life. Don't think because I'm no longer that, therefore I am nothing. It doesn't matter. There is something. There is something you can do in the house. You know, well, I'm not a worship leader. I'm nothing. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a connect leader. I'm not interesting your life. I'm not as successful as, I don't know, Lynn and Ronnie. And just because you can't do that something doesn't mean you can't do something. Ephesians 4:16 says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He does it in his work. So if you feel like I'm not fitting, well, maybe there's just a little bit of submitting to the work of God that he wants you to do. A little submitting this morning. Say, I'm not fitting. Because God, he says God makes us fit. He causes us to fit together. It's his incredible, incredible work. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We're going to finish in a minute. The keys can come up, then I'll really know to wrap it up. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God wants this body healthy and growing and full of love. Those three things, interchangeable, interconnected. God wants that. I think it's quite healthy. I think there's some growth. I think there's some good love. So God's on it. All right, but he wants to do more. But I find that this is the case. If you don't feel that you fit, then, well, you need to do your own special work. Because he fits us together as each part does its own special work, right? Helps the other parts grow. You've got to... I've had this before, and I know this isn't you. I know this isn't you. But I've had before someone come into the life of church back in Lancashire, and they're... I'm like, God, they've been around a while and they seem to love God and they seem to be enjoying church. And then you say, hey, why don't you get on the team? Why don't you get on the team? And they're like, oh. They said, well, hey, we've got an opening here. We've got an opening here. You'd be great on that. Just why don't you just throw your hand in, you know? And it's just like, oh, well, I'll need to pray about it. I'm like, what else are you doing on Sunday? Seriously. I don't want to just do it because, you know, I've done some of that in my old church or did some of that. I don't want to just do it. I'm like, why? I want to pray about it. We're not a church that prays about it. You know what I mean? We are a church that prays, right? But there are some things in life you don't need to pray about. You just need to obey about, right? The God, he says he fits us together perfectly, and he's got a special work. He's got a part for you to play, and maybe you're already playing it. Be encouraged that that's what's causing you to fit. That's what's helping build this thing. It's not all about a Sunday morning, but that's kind of the easiest way to talk about it and to recognize, are you in? This is a special work that only you can do. Something we need you to do to bring into the mix of who we are. There's positions vacant for a few fingers. The body on my body, if my arm's going, I'd like to be a finger over on the left hand. I'm like, I've got, no, positions are full. You carry on being an arm. That will be awesome. But there are positions vacant. Because you might think, well, hopefully Liverpool's got enough fingers. Doesn't need me. Well, actually, no, we do. You know, we only need two legs. Well, it's a big thing God's building, right? And there's positions vacant for you. I was seeing that there's quite a few guys on team and what have you. And I just want to encourage you and just say thank you. Thank you for being part of building. You know, but recognize that you're not just fulfilling a rota. You're part of building a spiritual temple. Because I think if we realize what God is doing, then it just changes the way that we serve. It changes the approach. It changes the way we arrive on a morning. It changes, stops us thinking, well, why should I dress slightly smart? Why should I have a shave? Because it's a temple for God. It's a place that represents Him. If we think this is what we're doing, oh gosh, the incredible impact that we can have. If that's in your heart and in your head and in your mind, that the way that you serve, the attitude with which you serve will go up a level. The buzz that you carry into the house won't be dependent on, have I had a good week or a bad week? Do I feel like it today? No, because you'll be reminding yourself that this is God's house. I am a living stone. What a privilege, what an honor, what a pleasure to be in the house. I think we'd all always like to say, hey, you know what, find your way. Find your way in. Don't walk straight in the door and feel like, God says, I've been here 2 weeks. I need to be on a team. There's pressure to be on a team. No, let God do something in your life. Let God renew you. Let God shape you. Let God fill you afresh. Make yourself at home. But then God wants to just release you to equip you and use you in all kinds of different ways. I think God's going to do some relocating of your life and my life in the team of Hope City Liverpool. Gosh, where do we go from here? I think we just need to pray right now. Because I just think it's good to recognize what God's on with. Here, why don't we just stand? I think that's good. It just helps us change mode for a second from just receiving, just to engage right now with God. Why don't you lift your hands where you are? I don't have to lift them too high because I might take a couple of minutes over this. But just close your eyes right now and just, why don't you just thank God that He's taken you out of whatever your life has been, whatever your history has been. And whether you're new here, it doesn't matter where you are, but just thank Him that He wants to fit you in. You might feel that you fit nowhere. You might feel that you fit in with nobody in your life. But this is a place where you find that you fit. And right now you might be worried about, do I fit? I don't know. But you know that God's talking to you. Spirit of God, we just welcome you. Lord, thank you that you are building a temple, a dwelling place for your Spirit. You're on with it already. Lord, you want to increase your presence in the days ahead, Lord. Not for our benefit. Alone. But for the sake of the world that needs to see who you are. Why don't you just ask God to use your life as a living stone in what He's building? Why don't you? I think God's challenging some people. Maybe come closer. You're going to come closer. You're going to have to join team. You're going to have to join a connect. You're going to have to come more often. You're going to have to be around more. God's challenging some of us. Gosh. Thank you. This is what you're building. Thank you. You're part of what God is building. His plan for the earth. His plan for Liverpool. You're in it. You're part of it. Jesus, incredible. What an incredible thing. Father, right now, I pray for every single person here who's struggled in their life to feel that they fit anywhere. Feel that they just even right now in their workplace or their cottage environment, where feel like, I don't know if I fit. Nobody gets me. God, I thank you that you get us. You get us. You get our history. You understand where we've come from. You understand the things that have, you know, bound us up. The things that have affected our lives. And yet, God, right now, I just declare freedom over every life here. I declare freedom, Lord God, from all that feeling uncomfortable around others, Lord God. Father, and I declare that you fit. Just thank Him, you fit. Father, and I want all of us right now to just take a stand. Right, if you're saying today, God, just fit me in where you want me. Use me where you want me. It's one of those dangerous prayers, right? It's one of those dangerous prayers. Because sooner you go, God, yes, use my life wherever you want. God will. God will. But it's a key to unlocking your future. And more than that, key to unlocking the future of this city, this region, wherever you are. So if you're saying with me today, God, just fit me in where you want me. Use me as a living stone. Why don't you just lift your hands to God? Why don't you just do that right now? If you're saying, God, come on, you've got the plan. That's awesome. This is awesome. Father, we thank you, God. You have the plans and purposes for our life. God, I thank you that you fit every single one of us in where you want us to be. Father, use us. Display your glory through us. Do something incredible. Why don't you pray? Come on. Why don't we pray? God, will you do something awesome? Will you show the world? Will you show the world who you are? Will you show our families and our friends and our workplaces and our schools and our colleges and the streets of Liverpool and wherever you send us, God, will you show through us together and wherever we are, show the world how incredible you are, God. Jesus. He's going to do it. Going to do it. He's going to fit you in. Last thing we'll do, right? If today you're saying, I don't know if I fit in at all because I've never known Jesus. I don't know. Today, you can put your life into the hands of the master craftsman, the one with an incredible architectural eye for what is best for your life and your future. You can put your life in the hands of the builder of lives, the restorer of hope, the giver of dreams, the forgiver of sins, and enter into a real, full relationship with your Father God through Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, we're just going to pray a really brief prayer. Simple prayer, but it's a prayer that says, God, I don't want to just go my way. I want to go your way. I feel disconnected from you, but I want to be connected. I feel you drawing me today. I want something that some of these guys have got. I see there's something going on. Jesus paid the price for everything that would separate you from God upon a cross. Maybe hard for our minds to grasp, but know that everything you've done wrong, it's been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died and he rose again to a newness of life, which means that you can have a new life right now. The life God's intended, the life that God designed you for, the reason you're alive, is a prayer away. Are you ready to pray? All of us are going to pray. You're going to pray with me? Good. Let's pray this prayer. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he paid the price for everything that would separate me from you. That I can be forgiven completely for everything I've done or thought. I want the brand new life you have for me. I want your plans to come to pass. Forgive me for going my own way. I choose your way. I choose your plan. I put my life in your hands. Clean me. Come into my life. Make yourself at home, God. In Jesus' name. If that's you today, you're saying a prayer like that for the first time and saying, God, I'm stepping in. God, come in. God, make yourself at home. I want the life you have for me. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've prayed it before, but you've walked away from that truth and you're coming back to it, if you're in one of those two groups, why don't you just lift your hand right now so I can see it. Just let us know that that's you today. You're saying yes to God. Someone's put his hands up there. That's awesome. Someone else has got their hand up. Is there anybody else? Just before we finish, and we'll just praise God really briefly. Is there anybody else? Well, it's beautiful. There's a couple of hands. So that's awesome. Let's give those guys a round of applause. Come on, let's just worship him. Let's just worship.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.